This is the second half of chapter 3. That caused the Palindrome crowd to erupt. "Mr. Brown," they shouted. Nervous, the houseman retreated to his desk. There he found the unpaid sheets and pairs of bowling shoes. "Damn nares," he muttered. During his turn, Quimpy would try to repeat everything with the same strike as before. Swing the ball out past the 12th board, let it come home with everything it needed. As he checked the alignment of his feet, he felt the ball drop below his waist. He was ready to push off. His arms and fingers felt just right. When he let the ball go, he leaned out over the lawn and waited. When it hit, the pins splattered, and for a second he saw an 8-10 split. Then, as if someone had pulled a string, it kicked out, and the deck was empty. Grumblings and acclamations followed. "How could anybody bet against these cakes?" Butchie voiced. The money exchange ensued. Ron collected his $10 with a plastered grin, while TJ got up for a drink. Quimpy came back with a word for Hank. "What do you think, Coach?" "You got him," said Hank, spitting out a piece of bitten nail. Joseph T. and Brewster approached the scorer's table together. "We won't raise the bet," said Brewster. Nick and Quimpy stared back at them. "Let's play for 200. Quimpy turned and stared at Zeke. He wasn't reaching for his pocket. If Zeke thought it was a good idea, he would have been doing that. "What's the matter, Quimpy man?" Brewster teased. "You lose a little heart when you see real stakes?" "Man, this ain't your match," Quimpy countered. He calculated that the outburst would throw things off long enough to give him a chance to think it over. "What business you got doing the talking?" His plan failed. Nicky whirled on Brewster. "Bet 200 more. We'll see who's got heart." Brewster lit up like a neon. "Your little brother got more heart than you'll ever have, Quimpy man." Embarrassed and wanting to smack his brother's head, Quimpy glared over at the ultra-confident Nicky. Halfway through the game, Quimpy exploded at Nicky for not paying attention, causing him to miss a one-pin spare. In the 6th frame, Nicky left the same spare again and kicked the ball rack hard enough to knock 2 of the other players' balls onto the approach. Then he smacked and kicked the scorer's table, dumped 2 containers of coffee, limped over to the wooden bench, and stared with menace at the far wall. Butchie came over and growled. "You better take it easy." Nicky pushed Butchie's hand away and said, "Why I gotta take it easy? Who are you to say that I gotta take it easy?" In the end, they lost the game. "What's the matter with you?" hollered Quimpy. When the coffee his brother spilled landed on him, he turned for the houseman and asked for something to clean it up. "Your mess, you clean it up," said the houseman. After being beaten in 6 lines of games, he'd be damned if he was going to go and clean up after a crazy punk. So Butchie and Ron went to the bathroom, returning with a mass of paper towels. The Palindrome crew proceeded to run for the rest of the game. Ron's heart sank. He was only up $5, and if they lost again, he would be down money. Again, his mind raced to a trapped image of himself with nothing to do. "Let's raise the bet again," said Quimpy. "Let's play for 250. Quimpy walked back to TJ, Hank, and Ron. First, he looked at Ron. "You want any more of the bet?" "I'll stay with 10, said Ron. "How much is open?" said TJ. Quimpy whispered in his ear, and they both nodded. Quimpy and Nicky won the next 2 games. The Palindrome crew wanted double the bet for another game. when the night crew had begun to arrive, as the day turned to night without much change in atmosphere. This game was going to be set for $500. "They shot their wads," said Butchie. Everyone, included Ron, doubled their bets. Even if he lost, he would be up money. TJ wiped an imaginary smile of sweat from his forehead and looked at Hanky. "I can feel them marching trombones coming up on me now." He flinched and feigned ducking something gaining on him, bringing a laugh from Hank, while Ron wondered what TJ was talking about. Quimpy and Nick won their next game going away, as Quimpy put it. Quimpy agreed to take a trip over to the Paladrome at some point in the near future, which wouldn't happen as long as they had their money. "When they have my money, that's when I'll go over there," he said to Nicky. Nicky smiled and the brothers bonked fists, while Zeke called up a 5-year-old fiancé and made plans for a late-night dinner. As Quimpy changed his shoes, a fat young kid named Randy came over, asked about a letter of recommendation for his probation officer. Quimpy laughed and asked Randy what he'd been up to. Eyes closed, Randy grabbed one arm and rocked back and forth. "I've been in my crib, all fucked up. I love to get fucked up and lay around my crib all day." Quimpy shook his head and told him he'd have the letter when he came back next Saturday. Later, he told Hank and Ron that he would be around his house later that night. They wanted to take a ride out there. Hank gave Ron a ride home and then returned to Wellmont to read the book on differential equations he'd been thinking about all day. The Paladrome crew disappeared, all but Dennis Brown, who went back to his alleys to practice, call his girlfriend Georgina, and drink scotch and soda. Brewster and Joseph T. departed for a bar called Casper's to sit in the dark, drink, listen to music, and talk about the match. On Saturday nights, TJ bowled in a league at a house up on Route 46 named after two baseball players who lived in Jersey. Before he left, he had time to go home, strip down to his underwear, eat some bologna and cheese with Italian bread, and a bottle or two of beer. The desk man thought bitterly about his heart attack that had caused him to have to retire from civil service. Now he was a nigger helper. When his wife asked him why he refused to share his problems with her, he told her that he'd drop dead to spite her if she didn't leave him alone.